many more on ships at sea. Your thoughts are naturally turned back to a familiar street or farm or community here at home. I can assure you that all our thoughts are equally turned to you wherever you are. We are joined in spirit over thousands of miles. The months past have been hard ones, but for our cause, they have also been successful. Our losses have been great, but the enemy's losses have been infinitely greater. During the time since last Christmas, we have learned much in the coordination of efforts, in the ability to work together with our allies. At the same time, builders at home have added hundreds of new ships and thousands of new planes and guns to make us stronger and more able to carry the tremendous task before us. We face what lies ahead with confidence, a confidence born of the knowledge that well-trained men and resolute women of the services are determined to end this struggle with victory in the shortest period of time. Although my brief words of greeting to you at this time can in no way substitute for the presence of those you love at home, I can speak for all the men, women, and children of this nation in expressing that trust and faith in your ability. The freedom-loving peoples of the earth are engaged in a struggle against tyranny and to liberate from bondage the millions who are snared by the chains of Nazi greed and brutal Japanese militarism. I wish you good hunting in that fight. As individuals and as fighting units of the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard, a Merry Christmas to you and a fruitful and victorious New Year. Let your strength be in this thought, that each move forward brings us all closer to the celebration of a peaceful and secure Christmas Day, when this world of ours will be a better place in which to live.
Well, gang, when it comes to four-part harmony tailored to fit the tastes of the four branches of the armed forces, that aggregation familiar to all of you as the charioteer sort of rings the bell and wins the cigar. They've gotten to be quite a habit on command performance, singing everything from the old Methodist hymns to Pistol Pack and Mama. Reading from east to west, these lads are tenor...
Wilfred Williams.
Second tenor...
Edward Jackson.
Baritone...
Ira Williams.
Bass...
Howard Daniels.
Brother James Sherman on the 88 on the charioteers doing Ride, Red, Ride.
Oh, the name of the song is Ride, Red, Ride, Ride, Red.
Oh! you, Charioteers. The big name band we've got on this Christmas show tonight has stuck closer to command performance the past year than a sailor dancing with Betty Grable. I'm referring to that big name Kay Kaiser. Yes, sir, when it comes to playing the camps and those 20,000-mile bond tours, this Kaiser outfit has broken plenty of records, and I don't mean phonograph records. It's another command performance for one of your best-loved band leaders, picture and radio stars, and the swell guy, the old fest himself, Kay Kaiser.
Evening, folks. Hi, y'all.
Evening, Kay. Hi, y'all, and welcome y'all to command performance. Shut my mouth and clamp it down and shut my kisser.
There's one command I'd like to perform.
Kay, I understand you just got back to Hollywood from another tour.
Yes, sir, and Bob, I was so happy to be back in town, I kissed the sidewalk at Hollywood and Vine.
That's better than you usually do on Hollywood and Vine. But I guess you'd like to hear the latest Hollywood gossip, Kay. Do you want to hear about Lana Turner and Betty Grable and Rita Hayworth?
Sure do, boy. Tell me what's been going on.
And do you want to hear about Gypsy Rose Lee?
Yeah, tell me what's been going off, too.
Kay, the latest news is about the pin in Dorothy Lamour's sarong.
The pin in Dorothy Lamour's sarong?
Yep, that pin has been declared undemocratic and an agent of the enemy.
Well, what do you mean, Bob?
For years now, it's been carrying on a war of nerves against the American public.
Say, well, tell me more about the gals, Bob.
Just a minute, Kay. I don't see why you should be so interested in the glamour girls.
Well, after all, a fisherman is interested in fish.
Not without bait, he ain't.
You better watch your step, Bob. Another crack like that, and
he's
I'll...
He's telling me to watch my step. Success went to your dog, old boy. Look at that. You should see this mitten on Kay's right foot. Just read any line through there. It's all right.
Where were we? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's your end.
Say,
right
you
there.
Better watch your step, Bob. Hope.
You're about 50 pounds off, old boy.
You better watch your step, Bob Burns. Another track like that, and I'll tell Crosby to leave you out of his next picture.
Yeah. Now, listen, Pinky listen, Kay. Let's keep that overgrown jockey out of this, but tell me. Have you had any dates since you got back?
Why, only last night I went out with a gal, but she gave me up.
Well, why did she give you up?
Well, she was a pistol-packing mama, and she wanted some live ammunition. But, Bob, I got someone here I want you to meet. Oh, Ish Cabibble.
Hello.
This is Ish Cabibble.
Yeah?
Why don't you take your problem to Mr. Anthony?
Say, Bob, you don't seem to understand. This is Ish Cabibble.
Well, tell him to go back and come in with his face towards us, will you?
Bob, his face is towards us.
Then tell him to just go back, huh?
Just a minute, Mr. Hope. I may not be very handsome, but I'll have you know I got an IQ of 22.
22, that's lower than a moron.
Well, we can't all be as smart as you.
I can't say anything. I have no more lines.
Woo! Well, I think they're both right. But, Ish, tell me, why did you come out here?
I came out here to tell a poem.
Ish, I'll bet you don't even know what a poem is.
Sure I do. A poem is something that ends with June, moon, spoon, and rumble seat.
Rumble seat?
You know a better place to spoon?
Never mind, Ish. Just read us your poem.
All right, here's the poem. It's called The Night Before Christmas.
And it's recited by a nut before New Year.
The Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the crisp before nightmas and all how to truce. Not a stretcher was creaching, not even a moose. The hungings were trimmed by the stock knew would care. In next at St. Hopeless, soon would be there. Then house to the uptops, the reindeers all flew with a sloy full of toys and St. Nicholas, too. Then I heard him explain as he drove out of sight, Merry Almas to Chris and to good and all night.
Slight correction. Merry Christmas to all and a good night to each. And now, fellas, the whole gang's going to dish out a very special greetings to you all from us all. It's Sally Mason, Julie, Harry, Diane, Jack, and Max in Paper Doll. Thank you, children, and say, gang, you know, all during this past year of command performance, we've been answering your commands for the familiar sounds of life here at home. You've asked us for crazy sounds, farm sounds, city sounds, and anything that seems to spell home to you. And lots of you have asked us to repeat them. So tonight we're going to do just that in a kind of a one-act play. Now, just imagine that a guy named Private Joe Goose is sitting up there at a lonely outpost on the Arctic Circle. He gets to dreaming of his hometown, San Francisco, the Golden Gate, and that symphony of foghorns booming across the bay. You know, Joe used to travel a lot, and he got to love trains. One thing he especially liked was the long, drawn-out whistle of the 20th Century Limited as she highballed it through the countryside. And Joe kind of got around a little, too. You know, he made all the joints. The Rainbow Room in Rockefeller Center, to Stevens in Chicago, to Brown Derby in Hollywood, Elmer Snodgrass's biggest beer for a dime joint in most any town. And sitting up there on the rim of the Arctic Circle, Joe says, boy, would I go for the barkeep mixing me up a long, tall bourbon and soda. And no Mickey, either. And one day, Joe gets a letter saying that Baby Joe Jr. has arrived. Ah, that the baby weighs 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and is a swell little guy. And Joe would give anything just to hear the sound of that kid's voice. Especially, he'd like to hear him crying. And Joe thinks, hey, wouldn't it be nice for the baby to have little Johnny, that black cocker spaniel, for company? And what about Johnny? Wouldn't it be good to hear that little dog bark again? You know, and that gets Joe to thinking of when he was a little kid, how he'd spend the summer up in the hills of Colorado. And he'd lean against the stanchion in the cow barn while his Uncle Gus milked the cows. Ah, that was pretty music, those two streams of milk hitting the bottom of that tin milk pail. Get any on you, bud? Ah, yes, and Joe's mind wandered back to the present. And he wondered about Market Street in San Francisco. The Christmas lights on every lamppost from the ferry building out to the Market Street tunnel. For sure, there'd be a Santa Claus every few feet. Fat ones and skinny ones. Standing beside little buckets with the wire gratings over them.
Help the needy. Help the poor. Help the needy. Help the poor. Help the needy. Help the poor.
On this Christmas, with the United Nations steamrolling toward victory, Command Performance switches you to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., for greetings from the Secretary of War, Henry L. Stimson.
In the midst of war, the coming of Christmas has a very deep and special significance. Christmas becomes the symbol of our hope for the future of our nation and its people. Irresistibly, our thoughts turn to the men and women in uniform who will spend this Christian holy day far from their homes, many of them on the field of battle itself, striving to bring about the victory which will realize this Christian hope of a future peace. These thoughts are in my mind as I send you my greeting. Whatever and wherever your station, I know that you are performing with soldierly devotion the duty to which you have been assigned. And at this Christmas season, I wish to express to you my profound appreciation of your fidelity and achievements. You have accepted hardship and sacrifice with a rugged fortitude which recognizes that these are the necessary price of victory. Your heroic deeds have been an inspiration to millions of your countrymen. To the love which your families and friends hold for you has been added the gratitude of the nation. In this spirit, I send you my greetings. Throughout America, the light of Christmas burns brightly in remembrance of you and in prayers for your return. God grant that your hands may be strengthened to hasten the day of final victory. Upon you and your comrades in arms, the world depends for the restoration of Christmas Day as a symbol of peace on earth.
Well, fellas, if somebody asked us what's one of the nicest Christmas presents you could give to the AEF, as good an answer as any would be a gal named Dinah Shore. I never did know which came first, Command Performance or Dinah, but they've been together a mighty long time. Well, where you find the one, you're pretty sure to find the other, and judging from those letters you send in, that combination is really the money in your book. A Merry Christmas to one of your best-loved gals, Dinah Shore.
Thank you, Kay, and hi, fellas. This is Dinah. I sure wish we could all be sitting around the fireplace talking about nothing much in general. Just sitting there watching our memories keep themselves warm in the fire. But a few little items like Germany and Japan are standing in the way of all that, but it's working out, and that day will come. Meanwhile, if wishing and praying can do any good, and I believe they do, you'll have good luck and good health during the new year. And though I'd like right here and now to get around to such way stations as China, Alaska, England, Newfoundland, the Caribbean, Sicily, Italy, the South Pacific, and all the rest with a hug and a squeeze from your loved ones here at home, that'll have to wait, too. But there's no waiting on a song that you love. With that wonderful Ken Darby chorus, I'd like to sing it for you now. Summertime.
Thank you very much, Dinah Shore. Fellas, we've got some hot news to slip in right about here, and it calls for a commentator with a nose for news. And this guy's nose has been making news for years. Dr. Luke Snoot Hope. Doctor, would you honor us with a few words? God forbid.
Luke Snoot. Get the nose on an orchestra leader. He doesn't need a baton. Get a load of him, will you?
And now, fellas, I'd like to present a couple of men you all know. And it took a lot of us to bring these two men together tonight. And it'll probably take a lot more to pull them apart. Jack Benny and Fred Allen.
Stop bowing, Benny. Every time that gray head goes by, it reminds me of Barbara Frietchie.
You're jealous, Fred, because I can bend without creaking.
Well, Jack and Fred, it's good to see you back together for Christmas and not fighting. After all, two middle-aged men should watch their blood pressure.
Look who's talking, middle-aged men. Listen, Hope, your middle is aged more than ours.
That's just a figure of speech.
Really?
Well, with a figure like yours, I wouldn't go around making speeches, mister. Besides, Bob, you've got us all wrong. There was never any ill feeling between Jack and me.
What are you talking about, Fred? I heard you say on the air one night that Benny squeezed a dollar bill so hard that Washington got buck teeth.
He did not, Bob. All he said was, I wouldn't pay a nickel to applaud a bubble dance with a hat pin.
Sounds as though Hope's writer wrote that for you.
Yeah.
No, you fellas have got the whole thing wrong. I merely said that Jack took the first buck he ever made, slapped it on his head, and had skin grafted over it. Every time he walks down Hollywood Boulevard on Dollar Day, his scalp twitches. Bob, that was just a casual remark made in passing. There was no malice intended.
Of course not. Hey, that's a straight line. What am I doing with that?
I'd settle for a line, but just a second, Jack. How about the time you said Fred's eyes looked like fly specks peeking over two ping pong balls?
Bob, now wait. I've got the face, and you guys are doing all the mugging. I mean, Jack never said that at all. All Jack said was that I looked as though Santa Claus had come down my nose and left a bag under each eye.
I did not, Fred. Remember, I said you were the only civilian I know with a sad sack under each eye.
That's right, Jack, and I think that's one of the biggest laughs you have ever gotten on the air.
Well, thank you, Freddie.
That's the spirit. That's more like it, boys.
What's more like it, son?
Yes, we can straighten this out ourselves, Mr. Skelton.
Oh. Please, that's the Sinatra of my life, please.
You have a line coming up, Mr. Hope.
That's you, though.
All right, I'll give you the other line. Who asked you to squeeze toothpaste on these troubled waters?
Well, I was only trying to be nice, but that's out of character for me. I'm going to get out of here. You two guys lean on each other. So long. Nice exit.
Gee, he got a big hand there, didn't he?
Yes, Jack. People were sure glad to see him go. You know, Jack, is this the same program that Jimmy Durante was on? Is this the same program still?
I think so. It's supposed to be a Christmas program. I didn't think we'd get on until New Year's. Well, Fred, here we are, though. And am I happy to see you?
Yes, Jack, here we are, and am I happy to see you?
Gee, Fred, you're looking fine.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You're looking fine, too.
Well, this can't last long, fella. Anyhow, Fred, welcome to California. What are you out here for, the orange picking season?
Well, I have been doing a little picking while I'm waiting to hear from Monogram. But I really came out here to make a picture, Jack.
A picture? Good. You know, things have changed since you made your last picture, Fred. They talk now.
Well, I talk a blue streak. I'm ready for Technicolor, if they talk.
Well, I see you brought your...
Now, wait a minute. That's my laugh.
I know. I see you brought your famous wit over the Rockies with you. By the way, where are you living, Fred?
Well, I've only been here 6 weeks, Jack. I haven't gotten a room yet.
Yeah. Well, it gets pretty chilly here at night, Fred. Doesn't the cold bother you?
No, I picked up an old Indian blanket at Albuquerque. It's a little crowded in there with the old Indian, but that's... That's housing in California today, yeah. Jack.
You know, when you're away from home nowadays, Fred, things are pretty tough. Travel is difficult, too. Now, take my case. I've just returned from a 32,000-mile trip overseas where I entertained thousands of men.
I was waiting for that. I was wondering how you were going to work that in. I was just...
It was a thrilling trip, Fred. South America, Africa, Sicily, the boot of Italy.
The heel finally reached the boot.
Fred, you're jealous, that's all. When I was in Egypt, I did a special show for King Tut.
Now, wait a minute. King Tut has been dead for 3,000 years.
I know, he was a very tough audience. And he still looks better than you do.
Well, I wouldn't talk. Every time I look at your scalp, I think of that song, The Surrey with the Fringe on Top.
I don't get the connection, Fred. I drive an automobile.
Well, all right. Surrey with the fringe on top, Maxwell with the jerk inside. What's the difference?
Lucky for you, Alan, that I don't understand that type of humor.
You don't understand my humor? Why, I remember you in vaudeville, Benny. The only reason you carried a fiddle was to beat off the audience.
Well, Fred, you never had to beat off an audience. For your first 10 years in the theater, you did your act in the men's powder room.
And that reminds me, Benny, you still owe me 40 cents for towels, by the way.
Ah, those were the happy days, though. Fred, remember the time we played South Bend? Krauss and his mathematical cat were on the bill with us.
Krauss with his mathematical cat. Remember the opening show? The cat had kittens on the stage and we couldn't top it.
Yeah. Funny, too. You shouldn't have had any trouble with that puss of yours. See, I thought that would have been a yell.
I did, too. Puss seldom
cat.
Well, puss has seen its best day, I guess.
Say, Fred, will you ever forget Mrs. Swallow's boarding house in Baltimore?
Oh, in Baltimore. I had a room, Jack, that was so small, the ceiling was so low, the mice had to run around on their hands and knees.
Well, Fred, in your room, they had to pray for something to eat.
Well, of course, in your room, they were sure of a crumb. They had a little... Well, things were tough in those days, Jack, but we didn't mind, did we?
No, and I want to say right now, Fred, you were a real trooper.
That goes for you, too, Jack. You're the salt of the earth.
Thanks, Fred. But really, you shouldn't admit it. I mean, even if it's Christmas, we shouldn't be so friendly.
Why not, Jack?
Don't throw bouquets at me. Don't please my folks too much.
Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Don't sigh and gaze at me.
Are you swooning?
Your sighs are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine. People will say we're in love. Don't start collecting things. Give me my rose and my glove. Sweetheart, they're suspecting things. People will say we're in love. So in love. People will say we're in love.
Well, fellas, on this command performance, we thought we'd take a little bit of the heart of every town and city in America and pass it on to you. This will be State Street in Chicago, where a loudspeaker full of Christmas carols fights the noise of traffic. And this will be the little towns up north where the night is cold and still and you can smell wood smoke and pine trees and hear a baby crying 2 blocks away. And this will be a ranch house in Wyoming and a coal miner's shack in West Virginia. An apartment on Nob Hill in San Francisco and a trailer camp in California. The cathedral in New York. The carols of Christmas are quiet and peaceful, but they ring louder than the guns of war. They outlive all men. They stay with the living and go along with the dead. They're endless. America is singing of Christmas, and Command Performance brings you home for the carols you've always loved. Francis and Ginny and Dinah are at the mic with the Ken Darby Singers, especially for you.
The white snow lies deeply around it, and the trees are bare, but the sun is bright, and it kicks up little diamond flashes in the snow. Inside, the grown-ups and the kids are gathered for Christmas service. Mosaic windows let sunlight rainbow through to fall upon the congregation. Francis, will you do a bit of the carol they might be singing? A lot of the fellows all over the world have memories of bright Christmas mornings in that same little church, of scrubbed faces and eyes shining with the excitement of new toys, and that's something that's in the air on every Christmas morn. And in memory of all that, won't you do a bit of Hark the Angels Sing?
Joyful, O ye nations. cathedrals throughout the land, you can hear them singing a song of peace-loving people of the United Nations who have no fear of the evil they are pledged to crush. For we are nations who find eternal strength in that eternal moment heralded by the carol that Dinah sings for you now.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
Christmas has many memories. Little fir trees and strings of dime store lights that get all tangled up and you never can find the one bulb that's gone out. And even the happiest Christmas has a bit of tears and sadness too. But everything that Christmas has always meant to us and will always mean to us is wrapped up in silent night. We three girls don't mind admitting from the very bottom of our hearts that it makes a little shiver stand on out on our arms to have the honor of joining with the many voices of the Ken Darby Singers and this big Air Force orchestra in the carol that we hope to be singing with you next year at this time.
That's it, buddy. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us over here. God bless all of you over there.
This is Ken Carpenter thanking the many members of the American entertainment industry who joined together in the spirit of Christmas to present this special holiday edition of Command Performance. Command Performance is arranged in cooperation with the Hollywood Victory Committee and is produced for the men and women of the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the War Department of the United States of America.